This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Cookies Robledo, coordinator of the Storytellers series, and Clark Matthews, lead producer of the Rooted in Rights Project, which produces videos and social media campaigns exclusively on disability rights issues. Rooted in Rights is a program of Disability Rights Washington, a nonprofit organization that protects the rights of people with disabilities statewide. Cookies and Clark are here to discuss the Rooted in Rights project and to tell us about the Rooted in Rights Storytellers Film Festival, Creating a Community of Inclusion, which takes place in Seattle Tuesday, April 17th from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Welcome to you both.
Morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Disability Rights Washington?
Disability Rights Washington is the protection and advocacy agency for the state of Washington. And each state is federally required to have one protection and advocacy agency that's responsible for legal advocacy to make sure the rights and freedoms of people with disabilities are enforced and looked after. And yeah, they've been around since about the 1970s. As a result of the Willowbrook story, the Geraldo Brook, you know, way back when, about the horrible, horrible conditions that folks with disabilities were kept in institutions. And so the idea being, here's a class of people that has civil rights that need to be protected. And it takes a lot of work to keep that protection going.
How do you define disability?
So I think it depends on the person that you're talking to, because some people say that, okay, I don't define by my disability, that I don't want to let my disability inhibit what I want to do in life. And then some people take pride in their disability, that they embrace it. And I think it just is a matter of who you talk to. A lot of people, when they think of the term disability, they think of a negative connotation, you know, that, oh, that person's in a wheelchair, they can't walk, or, oh, that person has a hearing impairment, or as an amputee, or someone has a mental illness, and they're never going to amount to anything in life. And I think that's what people associate with disability. And what we do at Disability Rights Washington is try to steer away from those stereotypes and from that stigma. So we look at like the ability aspect in the term disability, that despite the fact that people have disabilities, you can amount to anything in life. You can succeed. You can get a job. You can go to college, get a great education. You can be an important asset in the world. And so it's very hard to specifically define what disability is unless you talk to the person. But it's a matter of making sure and steering clear from those negative stereotypes that come with the term disability.
Well, like Cookies was just saying, I think there's, you know, a lot of ways to look at disability, obviously. And I think with Rooted in Rights and what we do with Disability Rights Washington, we kind of look at disability from what's called a social model rather than necessarily a medical model. Where I think, you know, a medical model so often defines disability as just simply like an inability. So it's, you know, whether like, oh, this person's ears don't work like everyone else does, or this person's legs don't work. In my case, yeah, I use a wheelchair, so it'd be like, it's because my legs don't work, ergo, I can't do all these activities that everybody else can. I think a social model of disability is recognizing, you know, how everyone has a range of abilities. You know, that's human experience. That's human diversity. What can be limiting folks is how society around us designs things and treats things and creates things. So it's not so much that I'm limited, like I'm not able to get to the second floor of a building. It's like, well, I'm not able to get there up, go up steps. I'm able to get there through a ramp. And so, yeah, it's about necessarily what we can or can't do. Disability is really about, like, how do we do things and doing things differently. And, you know, Cookies, as to what you were saying about thinking about despite disabilities, I think oftentimes, you know, people succeed in conjunction with disability. It's not a negative or thing we have to overcome in the first place. You know, I think disability brings a lot of really great innovations to humankind because we're trying to figure out, well, everyone else does things this way, but here's this group of people who approach it from a different angle, and what does that perspective add? You know, like Stephen Hawking said, his disability, like, afforded him a lot of time to think. So, yeah, I think it's really an unavoidable part of humanity, and it's a really enriching one if we approach it that way.
Before we focus on the Rooted in Rights project, would you give a brief overview of all the programs at Disability Rights Washington?
Disability Rights Washington has a lot of programs, ranging from fighting sexual violence and long-term care. They do a lot of work with prisons and jail inmates with disabilities through a program called AVID, which is Amplifying Voices of Inmates with Disabilities. DRW also works for community inclusion and services to get people fully integrated and daily life here in the community. We just recently began our Office of Developmental Disabilities Ombuds, which is a new statewide agency to make sure that folks with developmental disabilities are free from abuse and neglect. DRW does a lot of public policy research, analysis, and education. So that's both at the state and federal level, speaking to legislators about recommendations on how policies will affect people with disabilities. We do monitoring of people in treatment facilities, so people who are in institutions and group homes and anywhere that's not basically the community. We're there to make sure that people with disabilities are being treated properly. And lastly, DRW also has created the program that both Cookies and I are involved in, Rooted in Rights. So while DRW largely does legal advocacy for people with disabilities, Rooted in Rights is a very unique program that practices media advocacy.
Let's focus now on your Rooted in Rights program. What led to the Rooted in Rights program being formed?
So when I started working at Disability Rights Washington in 2015, Rooted in Rights was only about 6 months old. And so it was fairly new. Originally, it was called Disability Rights Galaxy. And it was basically like an online platform to promote media advocacy. There were a lot of blog posts, and basically there was only one person on the team at the time, and then slowly two more people were added, and then I joined in 2015, and then we started focusing a lot also on video advocacy. And since then, we've covered multiple topics, such as we had all related to, one, some of the lawsuits and legal advocacy work that the Disability Rights Washington team and legal advocacy team do. And then in 2016, we started the Rooted in Rights Storyteller Series. That's actually my role. I'm the coordinator for the series. And what we do is we teach people with disabilities how to create their own advocacy video. And the mission of this series and kind of the goal is to have people with disabilities tell their authentic stories and to express themselves and amplify these voices. Because, you know, in a world where there's not a lot of media representation of people with disabilities, or if there is media representation or people talk about disability issues, it usually comes from a second party, someone that's maybe non-disabled. And, you know, they really don't quite understand the day-to-day life of living with a disability. So this series is meant for people with disabilities to gain tools on how to write scripts, film their own videos, and they give us guiding points on how they want the film to be edited. And basically, they just get to share their story on a disability issue that's important to them. They relate it back to their personal life. And what's really nice is that we've really have seen that other people can relate to these stories, because, you know, all of these issues, a lot of people can relate to them, but when they see someone who really truly has experienced it, then other people will be like, oh, you know, I'm not alone in this. Someone else out there understands what I go through. And then that kind of brings a domino effect of people wanting to share those stories and not be afraid to speak their mind on these issues.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Cookies Robledo, coordinator of the Storyteller Series, and Clark Matthews, lead producer of the Rooted in Rights Project, a program of Disability Rights Washington. What are some examples of the topics you've covered in the videos?
Yeah, so we've had in this series over like 16 plus topics. They all range from employment and not discriminating people with disabilities when it comes time to job opportunities. We've had people talk about internet access and web accessibility. We've also talked about rights to being a parent and community integration, segregation within the education system, access to benefits. You know, everyone has a different perspective when it comes to these topics. So with one topic, you're going to get so many different perspectives. Like, for instance, we had two people do storytellers videos on rights to being a parent. One storyteller, she talked about how her mother, who also has a disability, how that was for her. And then recently, we just finished up a video where we had someone with a developmental disability talk about how she was planning on becoming a mother and how she was nervous. They wanted to talk about how they prepared to become a parent because they read that a lot of children who have parents with disabilities, they end up getting taken away. And they wanted to talk about this issue and inform other people with developmental disabilities on how to plan on how to become a good parent.
Would you like to share with us your right to graduation video?
Yes. So that one, I actually had that idea last year when I was about to graduate from university. And I remembered it was just maybe a couple weeks before graduation and everything was ready. My cap and gown was ready. And what was it? Normally our graduation is held on the football field. And I noticed it was going to rain that day. And I realized that I wanted to, you know, make sure that everything was ready just in case, because I have a motorized scooter. And if it gets wet, it doesn't function. It doesn't work. So I asked the disability office, you know, what can I do? And I was very frustrated when I found out that they weren't going to allow me to, well, not allow me, but they didn't really have another option out there for me. So I was basically going to potentially miss my main graduation ceremony. And I realized that, you know, maybe other people have had a similar experience to the one that I was having. And I mean, luckily everything turned out okay, but I wanted to give tips. You know, I could do it from a couple of different angles. I could, one, you know, give tips to people with disabilities on how to be proactive, how to make sure that they know where they can get the accommodations and how to do it. And then I could also do it from talking directly to the university as well. But I realized that I wanted this to be kind of a piece where I can motivate people to become advocates for themselves so they can learn how to proactively get the accommodations that they need. And then hopefully in turn, it'll teach other universities too what to look out for when it comes time to graduations, because no one should feel that they should miss out on their own graduation. That's something that everyone should be able to enjoy.
Right. I think that's a very common experience too. I know, you know, when I graduated from college, I think it was, gosh, the morning of, where we were, you know, getting in line, and one of the adults there just looked at me and was like, oh, you're here. And I'm like, well, yeah. It's right. And she's like, oh, just no one told us. It's like, I've been a student here for 4 years. Of course I'm graduating. Like, and, you know, the assumption being that, like, oh, I should have, like, let them know that, just so you know, even though it's federal law that people be included in daily life, you know I'm a real pain in the butt, so I might make things complicated for you guys. Now, thankfully, you know, my graduation, we managed to work through that, so I just got to go upstage with the rest of my classmates. But, yeah. No, it's amazing. It's this story where you think, like, there's just no awareness that students with disabilities exist and that we are part of the student experience. And at the time, you feel like you're the only one. Because, you know, I know I was the only wheelchair user in my graduating class. And it would have been so upsetting if on the day I was supposed to get my diploma, I had to sit and watch from the ground while all my friends got to go up on stage. But then, yeah, Cookies makes her story, and you realize, like, oh, it's not about me. You know, it's not about my problem. It's, like, the way we're doing things problem. That problem, I think, is one that we can solve at an easier level.
Would you also tell us about the videos that deal with employment issues?
Yeah. So the videos that we've done, actually two videos within the Storyteller series touch upon employment. There was one done by a young woman from Japan, and she talked about how employment was for people with disabilities in Japan and how it was much more difficult to get employment in Japan versus the United States. it was Mizuki. She did an amazing job. And then there was one that I did that it was about LP employment, little people employment. And, you know, how a lot of times when little people go into the workforce, they're immediately judged by their stature, by their size. And I actually ended up interviewing for that video Dr. Jennifer Arnold and Bill Klein from the show, the TLC show, The Little Couple. Well, we're very close friends, and I've known they have amazing, great knowledge and experience of being a little person in the workforce and having successful careers. Jennifer Arnold is a neonatologist, and Bill Klein is a businessman, and both of them talked about how even when they were growing up, there was under the assumption that they were going to become entertainers because there were little people, and, you know, in the past, little people were known to perform. And so basically, they, in the end, the advice that they gave for the audience and just for people who are hiring is obviously to, one, not discriminate, but two, but also in terms of for what little people can do, is to kind of just disclose the fact that, hey, just FYI, I'm a little person, but I can do A, B, C, and D, and, you know, just don't judge us. I mean, they both had similar experiences, and it was very difficult for them at first, but they're now very successful people and just good role models for anyone in the LP community to realize that, hey, you know, it doesn't matter how small I am, I can have a really great career, I can make money, I can be an important asset to the workforce, I can do this. So since I was going to be in the workforce eventually, I made this video when I was still in college. I wanted to also get insight for myself on tips of what I could use when going into the workforce. So it all kind of worked around to wanting to get tips for myself and also just to give advice to other people in the LP community.
So as a college student, you wanted to have career aspirations beyond being like itty-bitty Britney Spears, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Part of the video I talk about, little people when they get jobs, it's either kind of fantastical like creatures or mythological creatures like elves, like in TV shows, or like micro hypersexualized versions of like famous TV stars.
And then in addition to the great storytellers videos, another big project that we did at Reader and Writes was a feature documentary called Bottom Dollars. And that's all about sub-minimum wage sheltered workshops, which still exist to this day, you know, throughout the country, where workers with disabilities are paid below minimum wage. And these businesses apply for a waiver from the Department of Labor, say, like, hey, if we hire disabled folks, can we pay them well below just so we can save money? And they get permission to pay people literally nickels on the hour. And so, you know, someone can work for 2 weeks in a workshop, you know, assembling, unscrewing buttons or whatever the task is, and like only get $3, you know, at the end of 2 weeks of work. And thankfully, as a result, you know, that's a big issue that not too many people know about, because again, this is a sheltered workshop, so they're sheltered from the eyes of society around them. But right here in Seattle, Seattle actually became the first city in the nation to ban subminimum wages for workers with disabilities. That just happened, actually, it was just signed by city council this year. So we have a little bit of history in this great, great movement that's underway right now.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Cookies Robledo, coordinator of the Storyteller Series, and Clark Matthews, lead producer of the Rooted in Rights Project, a program of Disability Rights Washington. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Would you now tell us about the Rooted in Rights Storytellers Film Festival that's taking place on April 17th?
Yes, yes. So we're very excited to host this event. This film festival is going to show six storytellers' videos, and we actually divided it up into three different topics and with two videos per each topic. So we're going to be discussing community integration, access to benefits, and parental rights at this screening. And we're also going to have a live panel discussion with some of our storytellers. So actually all six storytellers will be present either like at the event, like in person, or through a video or Google Hangouts. So we're going to kind of be discussing, just kind of comparing and contrasting the different videos based on the topics. Because like I said before, you can have one theme or topic, but have multiple perspectives on that topic. So like for instance, for community integration, we have one storyteller, Jensen, who talks about how he was institutionalized as a teen in a nursing home. And then we have Courtney, she's a storyteller, and she actually is part of the Rudin Wright staff. She talks about how schools of the blind can be segregating occasionally in nature, but how blind students, when they're going to make a decision about what school to attend, like kind of the knowledge of both so they can make an informed decision. And then within access to benefits, we have one storyteller, Emily Harvey, that talks about access to prosthetic limbs and how health insurances don't necessarily cover prosthetic limbs and the importance of getting coverage for those. And then we have one storyteller, Carrie, who talks about marriage equality and the marriage penalty with Social Security benefits and how people in the LGBTQ community feel like they can't get married because if they get married, they'll lose their benefits. So she talks about that. And then for parental rights, as I mentioned before, we have one storyteller, Emily Liddow, who talks about her mother's perspective of how it was for her to become a mother as someone who has a disability. And then we have Ivanova. They talk about, as someone with a developmental disability, how they prepared to give birth to their first child and kind of the steps that she did to prepare for that so her child wouldn't get taken away. And we're just really excited for this event and how we've come very far since almost 2 years ago. We've had over, I think, almost 20 storytellers make videos, and we had covered multiple topics, like 16-plus topics, and it's unbelievable how far it has come.
In fact, at the end of the screening, we'll be debuting some submission videos for the next round of storytellers, where people get a vote on, you know, whose story we work on next and who gets all of our production help to make some nice polished videos.
Yeah, so what we've been doing recently is actually we started this back in 2017. We've been doing a submission process to encourage people with disabilities to apply to this series to produce storyteller videos with us. And we actually just finished our second round of submissions, and we're going to be announcing our top five at the event. And the public actually will be able to get a chance to vote on which three storytellers will get to produce videos with us.
And you can do that just right through our website.
Yeah.
And then, so, and I think basically, you know, in the disability rights community, there's a saying, nothing about us without us. And as Cookies was saying, you know, you can talk about the representation of people with disabilities. What's great about the Storytellers Film Festival coming up is that it's stories of disability told by people with disabilities. You know, so it's kind of an insider perspective. It's about self-representation. It's about new media. And it's just, yeah, you know, rather than being the subject of the story, we get to be the authors of the story.
So in addition to the film festival, where else are your videos being distributed?
We have the videos also online, and we also distribute them on our social media platforms. We post them on Twitter, and we post them on our Facebook page as well.
On YouTube?
Yep, YouTube.
Anywhere that we can show our videos, we show our videos.
So in your view, what is most needed at present to help people with disabilities lead the lives they would like to live?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Well, you know what? I think, honestly, Diane, I think the way to answer that question is like, what does anyone need to live the life that they want to live? I think they need support. They need opportunity. They need respect and resources. And I think people with disabilities need the same.
Yeah, it's kind of like that saying in elementary school, yeah, you treat others how you'd like to be treated. We all deserve the same respect as everyone else. Someone who doesn't have a disability has certain needs. We have the same needs. And getting access to certain places or buildings, yeah, you know, we want equal access to those same buildings or just the same community living. And I think ultimately, now that I think about it, I think what we all want is just a sense of independence, that the fact that we can live our lives as full as possible, as independently as possible, and just to show that we can be a part of any community, no matter what.
Because we are. I mean, people with disabilities make up 20% of the population, you know, already.
Yeah.
It's the largest minority group in the country, really. And we're very inclusive. It doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter what gender, socioeconomic background, religion, race, sexuality, you know, disability touches all of us.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of people miss when it comes to talking about disability rights issues is that that they think that it's kind of its own separate entity, when in fact, you know, there's so many marginalized groups within the disability community that we need to make sure we focus on all of the rights issues within the disability rights issue.
What we need is all these artificial barriers that we've made in a society that separate people with disabilities from anyone else, you know, to come down. So that be that, you know, the way we produce media that's only accessible to some people and not everybody. The way we construct our environment that's only accessible to some people that isn't accessible to other people. The way we build our society and build laws that all too often criminalize people with mental disability. I can very safely say at Rooted in Rights and Disability Rights Washington is we never run out of things to do.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would say, you know, if you go out into the world and if you come across someone with a disability, kind of just think twice about your perspective of them and your perception of them, because ultimately, we're just like everyone else. We're human beings, and we just deserve equal opportunities like everyone else.
I don't think people should have to feel like they have to, like, negate their disability. It's like, oh, I'm just like everybody else. Like, you know, the reality is, like, it's part of the variety of life. You don't have to, like, ignore that and think, well, I'm just like everybody else. It's like, the fact is, like, everyone's kind of different. And so it's not a matter of, like, denying that and treating us better. It's because of that and a large factor, too.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And maybe I should have said, like, for one thing, I'm proud of my disability. Like, I wouldn't be who I am if it weren't for me being a little person. And that is what makes us unique. I think it's a matter of people wanting to try to, like, fix us. I think what I mean by equal opportunity, not necessarily changing who we are to fit that, but rather the world needs to, I think, kind of adapt to us, because we're not changing who we are. We want the same opportunities. You just need to be a little bit more open-minded, because I like the way I am and I'm not changing who I am. And I think that's what makes everyone unique and different.
And the nice thing is that you talk about, you know, the world adapting. Like, people with disabilities have been around longer than stairs have been around. We're not new. Final message I'd say is that if what we're talking about, if talking about disability advocacy and disability rights and using media to push this narrative forward, you know, appeals to your listeners, there's ways that they can get involved. They can go to our website, rootedinrights.org. You can share our stories, help spread this media around. We can help you tell your own story if you want to work as a blogger or be a storyteller. We'll help you produce a video. And then also, you know, if you don't necessarily have a story yourself you want to tell, but you want to make sure other people can tell their story, you can donate and support the work that we do.
And then also one final thing, too, about the event on Tuesday is that everything is accessible. The venue is accessible. We're having interpreters. We have...
It's American Sign Language for folks not in the know.
Yep. We also, all of our videos are open captioned and audio described, so people with hearing impairments or with visual impairments can actually enjoy the content that we produce.
As storytellers, you tell a story because you believe you have something that's important to say and that's worth sharing with other people. And we make sure that the stories that we tell can be shared with everybody, not just people who hear like us, not just people who see like us. It's like universally designed, accessible media.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
You were just listening to Cookie Superblado, coordinator of the Storyteller Series, and Clark Matthews, lead producer of the Rooted in Rights Project, a program of Disability Rights Washington. For more information, check on the web at disabilityrightswa.org and rootedinrights.org. The Rooted in Rights Storytellers Film Festival, Creating a Community of Inclusion, takes place on Tuesday, April 17th at the Uptown Theater in Seattle from 5:30 to 8 p.m. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by Bumble App and at KEXP.org.